The following is an Under Curse interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Dennis Morris of KLEM in Lamars and Aaron Summers with the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Dennis, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
All right. Thank you very much, Senator, and good afternoon. I know that the Senate has passed a bill, the second round of COVID-19 relief package. It has yet to be passed in the House, but if you can, explain what is contained with the bill and what will the individual constituent, will they be seeing another $1,200 payment come to their attention, or what's going to be, what's inside that bill?
Well, can I make it clear that it's just been introduced and it's going to have to be worked out between the House and Senate. And so it's got a ways to go yet, but I can answer your question. Otherwise, it probably will include the $1,200, or for a family of four, including that would include two kids, could be possible $3,400. It extends unemployment insurance help from the federal government as opposed to the state government, so it's additional to state unemployment insurance, probably in the neighborhood of $200 compared to the $600 now, because we have priced people out of work, so businesses have a difficult time hiring people when the government pays them more not to work than to work. And two-thirds of the people that get unemployment now are probably getting more unemployment than if they were working. And then we have some tax incentives that are in the present bill but improved a little bit to encourage businesses to reopen and rehire. We have support for patients, nursing home residents, foster youth, flexibility for how state and local governments can spend their unused federal relief that they got in the first bill. That was $150 billion. Some states, I suppose, spent all of it. Some states probably haven't spent any of it. Give more flexibility in how they can spend it. And things of that nature. There would be improvements for K through 12 help for K through 12 education by $70 billion, of which 10% of that would go to private schools. There'd be $30 billion for universities all over the country. And by the way, that school money would not all go to the schools unless they opened up schools and had face-to-face teaching as opposed to distant learning. There's further help for hospitals, further tests for testing, and I could go on and on, but I think that gives you kind of a idea, and if you got a specific part of it you want to ask about, I'll get you after I get Aaron. So we'll go to Aaron now.
Well, I'll do a follow-up on that, too. What do you see as the hurdles or the areas of contention between the House and the Senate on the bill right now?
Probably the big 900-pound gorilla. It obviously wouldn't be the only one, but I'll bet it's the one that's most difficult to balance. You know, I just got done telling you that, we had to do it this way because we wouldn't have been able to get any additional unemployment help to people if we didn't put out a flat figure among the 50 states. It should have been different for Iowa than others. So I've told you we made a mistake because we have people working for not working, getting paid more than if they're working. So what Pelosi wants to do that's going to be the most difficult to negotiate, she wants to continue that $600, keeping people out of the workforce for another 6 months. And we don't want to do that. We want to encourage people to go back to work. We want to help businesses because government consumes wealth. We don't create wealth. So when you keep people off of the out of incentive to work, then obviously you're hurting the entire economy. And we want to get the economy up and running. So between our $200 and their $600, that's going to be the most difficult thing to negotiate. back to KLEM.
All right, Senator, continuing on this theme, do you have a timetable that has been discussed as to when you think it might get through the Senate and go to the House, and when we might be able to see a final bill come about?
It's got to be by August the 7th to get a bill on the president's desk, because we're stopping at that point for the Democrat and Republican conventions and the summer break that Congress takes during August. Back to Aaron.
Do you think that maybe the unemployment issue aside, do you think these checks are kind of doing their job and kind of keeping the economy afloat a little bit more than if we didn't have those? Like from that first round, do you feel like they were effective?
Very effective. You see big increases in retail sales that are kind of above normal. I don't think people buy houses just because of unemployment compensation, but house sales are at a record level, and it's partly because people have confidence in the economy that the government caused the economy shut down. We're going to do what we can to open it up. So yes, I think they've made a big impact. Back to Dennis.
All right, thank you, Senator. Off that topic, let's go to something that I know that you've had some interest in, and that is the investigation into the meat processing industry as far as the different prices that have been paid to producers, livestock producers, and that going to the consumer market and everything. I know that the Trump administration was asking for an investigation. Where does that stand, do you know?
Well, I'll have to give you an answer as of what I knew about 3 weeks ago. And that is, and I'm kind of surprised that they're even going this far, because I've tried to get the Justice Department to investigate the meat industry off and on, I'll bet, over the last 20 years, and I've never really got them to take me very seriously. But it was announced by Attorney General Barr that he's gone to these four biggest meat packers to get documents. Now, I don't know what he's seeking in documents, what documents he's getting, but I think it's to check to see if there's been any collusion and violation of antitrust law. Aaron.
What sort of feedback, what other issues are Iowans concerned about right now? What are they contacting you about?
Well, I think it'd be a good thing for me to give you a rundown of what happened at the 29 county meetings that I had during the week after the 4th of July, or the 2 weeks after the 4th of July when we weren't in session. And I need to explain 2 weeks, because normally we only have 1 week. And that is that there was supposed to be a Democrat convention that second week, but they moved it to August. So they still kept the 2 weeks to not be in session. So we talked about the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP program for small business to help them get up and running again after the government shut down the economy. Rural broadband, getting kids back to school. And by the way, we had about six different superintendents come to six different locations out of the 29 counties. So I think it shows that the schools see some problems, although I was very satisfied that these superintendents were very confident that they're going to be able to open their schools up and in fact want to do it. Then we talked about unemployment insurance, this business of paying people more on unemployment than they make and won't go back to the market. The cattle market transparency bill that I'm introducing, rural health care, trade, particularly with China, low commodity prices, and ethanol. And I had a chance when I talked about ethanol to talk about the great cooperation that we have with Ernst working real hard to help the ethanol industry. Back to Dennis.
All right. Senator, as you know from the news, there's been federal agents that have been deployed to Portland and Seattle to help maintain order, I guess, if you will, through some of the riots. That has come under some criticism, and I'm just wondering, do you know your thoughts and comments about federal agents that have been deployed to those two and other cities?
Unjustified criticism, because they're there to protect federal employees and federal property. and setting fire outside of the courthouse in Portland should not be tolerated. And I don't know why they don't bring in the fire trucks and put the fire out, but they aren't. And so the justification would be to protect federal property and to protect federal employees. There might be other ways where federal gun laws are being violated or federal drug laws are being violated for them to be in there, but they make it a lot of criticism because they're there. So I'd like to say that yeah, he's sending additional federal employees, because don't forget, there's people with the FBI, the tobacco
ATF,
yes, thank you for helping me, and ICE employees already in these cities. They live there, in fact. So he's sending in some additional ones. But I heard on television over the weekend that there were at least five or six cities where there was a lot of rioting, and demonstration, but leading to destruction of property and danger to people. And Portland was the only one where the additional federal employees intervened. The others were all handled by local police. And yet the president gets blamed for presuming to have federal employees involved in all those areas last weekend. So it's just disinformation that is very unfair to blame the president for everything. We all want peaceful demonstrations. It's protected by the First Amendment, but we don't want and can't tolerate destruction of property. That is not peaceful demonstration. Thank you all very much. I got to go.
Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you, Dennis and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.